He carries that around with him every day, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. All right, very good. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, I'm going to concentrate on just the first four verses. Matthew 18 is an awesome chapter in the Bible. If anyone ever asks you to give a short course on Christian ethics, that would be the place to go in the scripture. I remember taking ethics at seminary. It was one of those required core courses that everybody had, and that meant that the classes were big, probably 100 in each class. And so we studied Christian ethics for that whole term. And then the strangest thing happened at the end of the class. For the final, professor passed out the final, and he said, "Everyone who would be happy, just take an B, sign your final, and turn it in." I said, "Where's a pen?" You know. He said, "Now you can still take it if you want to." Don, this guy, besides being a professor at the seminary, ran our rescue mission in the French Quarter. And so he was very busy, probably didn't want to grade those, but I thought to myself, is that ethical? If you look at the 18th chapter, you see seven qualities that should mark the personal relationships of every Christian. In verses 1 through 4, you see the characteristic of humility. Verses 5 through 7, responsibility. We're each responsible for our actions and not to be a stumbling block. In verses 8 through 10, self-subjection, putting yourself aside. Jesus said it in a radical way. If your eye offends, you pluck it out. In verses 11 through 14, individual care for the individual. God doesn't deal with races or people groups. God deals with one person at a time. And he is concerned about every single person. Verses 15 through 20 deals with discipline. 19 and 20 deal with fellowship. Verses 23 through 35 deals with the spirit of forgiveness. If you ever want to teach Christian ethics, teach from this chapter. But we're going to this morning concentrate on verses 1 through 4. Let's read the passage and then I'll comment briefly on it. The Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 1, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And he called a child to himself and set him before them. And he said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" Let's pray together for a moment. Father, I simply pray that your spirit fill this place and speak in each heart, that Jesus might have glory. In his name we pray. Amen. You look at this passage, and so many times now people confuse this with the other passages in, example, Mark 10, 13 through 16, Luke 18, 15 through 17, even later in Matthew, chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. But see, there's a difference here. All of those speak about the time when people were bringing their babies to Jesus, for him to touch them and pray over them. And that was a blessed occasion. But that's not the case in our text. In our text, the disciples voice a question, which, by the way, shows that they have not a clue of what the kingdom of heaven is all about. Jesus then said, unless you turn, and that's what it means to be converted, unless you turn around, he indicated that they were headed in the wrong direction. You know, I think about that, and so many times we're forgetting, we're denying, we're spending self rather than exalting self. And that's what we need to do. We need to forget about self. We need to deny it. Jesus said, deny yourself and follow me. We need to be spending what we are, who we are, spending ourself. And too many times we're exalting it and we're headed in the wrong direction. And so Jesus then chose from those who were among the crowd a child. And he took the little child and he brought the child forward and he set them before the disciples. And he used then this child as an example of at least three great qualities of the kingdom of heaven. First of all, he spoke about the child's humility, and everything hinges on that, the humility of a child. Now you say, whoo, preacher, I see him running and screaming. And yeah, they do that. You know why they do that? That's the joy of innocence bursting out of them. And don't you dare muzzle it. But that's not what we're talking about. You say, well you know, they get on my nerves. Well, take something for your nerves. Read the Bible. That'll help you. You see, I call that the joy of innocent humility. That bubbling that comes out of a child. Oh, don't you dare hurt that in any way. You see, I worry more when a child becomes quiet and sullen and withdrawn. Then we have something to worry about in a child. But the humility is a very positive thing in the life of the child, and that humility is just like an inner sense of awe. Don't you hate to be around people that life has just worn out? Worn them away. Got nothing left in there. It's just, there's nothing there. None of the joy. None of the peace. All of that has been worn away by the cares of life. And Jesus' prescription for that was very simple. He said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. And so he said then that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added unto us. I think when I think about the child of that precious quality of dependence and trust. Now, those are two different issues, by the way. Did you know that even though they go hand in hand, they're different? Every child is born instinctively dependent. Do you remember the first action you saw from a child? They put their arms out. They know they can't do it, whatever it is, and they got to depend on somebody, and they put their arms out. Do you ever watch a little bird in a nest? A little bird in a nest opens its mouth before it ever opens its eyes. You know why? Because it's instinctively depending on that mother bird. And children are born just exactly that way. From one day, they're reaching out their little hands. And so a child then is instinctively dependent. But then a child learns to trust. I may have told you the story about my youngest son. My youngest son had no fear of water, and that was my fault. Because every time that we went swimming, I'd get in the pool, and he'd just run headlong down the hill and throw himself into the pool, knowing that Daddy would get him. And Daddy always got him. Until we went to Disney World, the first year it opened. We went the first year. We stayed in one of those hotels in Lake Buena Vista when it was only about 3/4 completed. They were still working on the top floors. And we went in January and went to the pool. Now, you're supposed to go to the pool in Florida, right? Well, yeah, but in January, somebody better heat that thing. So here were Carol and I, and Kim, our daughter, and my oldest son, sitting there on the edge of the pool with our water in it, our feet in the water, like this. I looked down the line, and there was Carol, and there was Kim, and there was Greg, and Doug was gone. And I looked down, and of course he picked the deepest part. And there he was, and he was sitting on the bottom of the pool like this, looking up. And of course, Daddy went in the pool and got him. But you see, a child learns to trust. And you know that's what we need to do. We need to trust God in exactly that way. A child learns that early on in life. They learn what they can trust, but more importantly, they learn who they can trust. A child learns to depend on God and to trust Him as he sees that played out in the lives of those that he loves and admires. Third quality, and I'm just going to share this in a very quick way, simply this, the quality of forgiveness. The sweet, innocent spirit of the child is quick to forgive and to forget. It wasn't many weeks ago that I had gone over to the children's building. And look, I get up here and I preach about shame on you when they get on your nerves. Boy, I went over there and there's one just getting on my nerves. And I spoke harshly to that child. And that child put his head down and was gone. And the next Sunday, when the children's sermon time came, he had his head down and he came up and he sat down on the pew. And I reached down and I took his hand, his face in my hands. And I said, "Do you know I love you?" He said, I said, "Will you forgive me?" And just like that, it was gone. And this day, you could ask that child, and he would never remember the harsh word that Brother Bob spoke to him. You see, that's the nature of a child. A child has to be taught hatred and grudge bearing. Those are all learned behaviors. Jesus had a point in this very short passage as he spoke to the people. And the point was simply this. Those childlike qualities of humility, wonder, trust, dependence, forgiveness are the same characteristics of the kingdom child of God. And I want you to know something. Those are the only ones that are going to be there. Those that are just like that. If you're pursuing something else, Jesus would say simply to you, turn around. You're headed in the wrong direction. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you bless your word in each heart. Father, that each life might be touched. And I pray that you do what I can't do. In each heart, draw people to the cross and to Jesus. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. I invite you this morning to stand. Praise team is going to sing they're going to lead us in our hymn of invitation. And if God has laid something on your heart, I don't know what that might be, you need to come. You don't come to me or to the church, you come to Jesus. So I simply invite you to come to Jesus. As the praise team sings, and as we prayerfully wait on the Holy Spirit.